My guest today in Food on Friday is a woman who's made it her life's work to create, enjoy, sell and educate the world about one single food ingredient, honey. Not that Jodie Goldsworthy has made or had much of a choice in the matter, because much of Jodie's childhood was spent travelling the countryside with her parents as they tended to their beehives, and that's how she ended up with honey in her blood, so to speak. So it does make perfect sense that Jodie's now published a book devoted to honey called Cooking, Tasting, Living Honey. Jodie, welcome back to Bush Telegraph.
Thank you very much, Michael.
We first met in Kyneton when we were there to launch that new documentary called Honeybee Blues, and you very kindly came on and demonstrated most effectively, the incredible range of taste depending on what bees feed on.
That's right. Yes, all the different honeys, definitely different flavours.
I want to talk to you about your cookbook in some detail in a moment, and you have a recipe which you're going to let us share with people on the website. But before we get to the cookbook, we've talked about your mum and dad there, but in fact, the Robinsons, your family, go back four generations in terms of beekeeping, don't they?
They do, Michael, yes. A little ironic that my great-grandfather began in Beechworth on the goldfields looking for solid gold. He didn't find any solid gold, but he soon worked out that beekeeping produced liquid gold, and I guess that's the start of our family tradition in producing Australian honey.
Do you still have some relics of your great-grandfather's time on the paddocks and in the forests?
We do, and in fact, featured inside the pages of my book is the first shed where my great grandfather produced his honey from in Beechworth, and the horse and dray that he used to shift his bees on. So we're lucky; we've collected a few bits and pieces together from what's remaining from those early days of our family heritage with honey.
And then jumping into your childhood from there, you've spent, it sounds to me, a lot of time under trees, playing in bush, and having to sort of reconcile that with school.
Yes, we did. It was a pretty interesting childhood. I mean, you really learnt to become pretty okay with your own company. And we travelled a lot. We travelled around wherever the bees were. Mum and Dad sort of took us most places. I mean, obviously we had to sort of balance school in amongst that, but it was a great childhood, and one where I think you know we just really learnt to love the Australian countryside and the Australian bush, and it's one that I think I'm very privileged to have enjoyed as a child.
Not as many Australians now, Jodie, as I think even when you were growing up, actually had to sort of serve the rhythms of nature as much as your family did, and you still do, because you were talking in the preface to the book about how often you would be taken away quickly from friends who were putting you up at night because your mum and dad had to go somewhere.
Yes, yeah. I mean, probably the worst side of all of that is the bees have to be shifted at night. So when you've got both parents basically, doing that job, we were too young. I mean, we couldn't stay home by ourselves, and we lived about 6 kilometres out of town. And so we either stayed with our grandparents, and mum and dad would pick us up after they loaded the load of bees on the truck, and that could be, anywhere after dark. And then we'd go home, go to bed, and then they'd always have to leave at, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And so I just used to hate, I think that's why I hate getting out of bed in the morning now, Michael.
But you loved the way your dad smelt.
Yeah, it's a really, it's a combination, it's a hard to describe, but it's a combination of beekeepers use smoke to calm the bees. And so that smoky sort of smell combined with sort of sweet, sticky honey, it's just a really, it's a really earthy smell. And most beekeepers smell that way. I mean, Stephen comes in at night if he's been working with the bees, and it's just such a real comforting smell for me, probably.
now I'm glad you mentioned Stephen, because Stephen, of course, is our regular apiarist we're in touch with as the Bush Telegraph beehive goes round parts of New South Wales and Victoria. He is your partner. We met Stephen through you, in fact, when we spoke to him by phone from where we were in Kyneton on that day. And you say, in fact, in the preface of the book, I am grateful of the inconvenience of being left with friends. You better explain that.
Well, the chance meeting with Stephen was that, mum and dad went off to shift a load of bees. And by this stage, I was, a young teenager at a raw age of 14, and went with some friends to a someone's 18th birthday party, and of course Stephen, being 17, had been invited to the birthday party, and that's where we sort of struck up the connection. And it was a bit horrifying for Mum and Dad, I think. You know, I was pretty young, and they tried for a few years to get rid of him, but
how do they do that?
Oh, you know, as parents do, they make life difficult for, you know, if you've got a 14-year-old daughter who's got this older boyfriend, of course you're going to try and do that. I'll probably do the same thing.
Did you find your dad actually going, come on, Jodie, you're off on the hives with us again today? No, you can't stay home.
Yeah, by that stage I was sort of pulling rank with, oh no, I've got really important school things to do.
So was Stephen's family also in the beehive business?
No, not at all. No, he hadn't come from an agricultural background at all. But he had lived out of town, and he'd spent a lot of time growing up, you know, roaming around the hills of Beechworth and you know, riding motorbikes and enjoying being out in the bush. And so, you know, we really did have a lot in common because of the fact that he enjoyed the outdoors as I enjoyed the outdoors.
And you're insured now that he's come into the family business, so when he comes home at night, just like your dad, he smells of smoke and honey.
He does.
That's what you're comfortable with.
That's what I'm comfortable with.
My guest today is Jodie Goldsworthy, who has just published her own book called Cooking, Tasting, Living Honey. And I want to talk about the book a bit now, Jodie, because we're running out of time. But can I say the photographs in this book are magnificent?
Look, they are. Yes, I'm very proud of the photographs. We had a wonderful lady called Catherine Sutherland take the photographs for us, but she just captured the heart and soul of our feeling for bees and honey and the food that's produced from honey. And she was an absolute pleasure to work with. And I think any book, you know, the quality of any book really comes back to the photographs, to the visual
yes.
side of things.
Well, the whole book is suffused with this lovely golden honey glow with the way it's been printed and it's been put together. It's beautiful. And of course, there's sweet recipes in the book, things like banana honey and pecan loaf and citrus honey flan. And in fact, we're going to put up Amy's honey sponge roll on our website. But just quickly, Jodie, I'd like to sort of go to the other side and talk about savoury uses for honey. Where have you put that into recipes?
Well, I mean, tomato relish is a recipe, I guess, you know, that I use no sugar and just use honey in. So that's, you know, one interesting one. But in terms of the savoury, there's, you know, you can use it as a base for meats, it actually has a number of sort of savoury uses, and
yeah.
we've sort of tried to explore those through the book. And I think when people look at the book, their first impression is that, you know, it's actually much broader than they expect it to be. They think it'll be, you know, a few sweet desserts and maybe some cakes, but it is much broader than that.
I like deviled lamb chops with glazed beans and broccolini, chicken and blackberry honey stir fry, pear and pistachio salad with green mallee honey dressing. And can I ask, are certain kinds of honey from certain eucalypts great for some recipes and not as good for others?
Well, I think they are. I mean, it comes back to personal preference, but there are definitely some flavours that lend themselves to certain things. I mean, for example, light, delicate desserts, you probably wouldn't put your stronger flavoured mountain honeys in, but some of your stir fries and things are really perfect with those more robust flavours.
Well, look, I think it's a marvellous thing that you've put this together, and it also encapsulates the passion you obviously feel that stretches back four generations. And Jodie, I love the way you finish the book. You finish not with another dessert, but with honey oatmeal mask.
Yes. Again, just sort of pushing the boundary in terms of the, you know, the uses for honey.
So you can apply the mask, leave your skin feeling fresh, and afterwards, if you've got any mask left over, you can eat it.
Yes.
It's brilliant. Jodie, thank you so much. We will put up Amy's honey sponge roll on our website, and I know the book's in its last stages before publication, and have a Merry Christmas and a Honey New Year.
It's actually been published.
Oh, it has been published.
And the first lot of copies have arrived this morning, so they're
great.
Actually available through our website.
Lovely.
That's beechworthhoney.com.au.
Good on you, Jodie. Thanks very much. Bye-bye now. Jodie,
thanks.
Jodie Goldsworthy, who is the author of Cooking, Tasting, Living Honey, and also, of course, runs Beechworth Honey.